And upon these I write the things of my soul, and many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass. For my soul delighteth in the scriptures, and my heart pondereth them, and writeth them for the learning and the profit of my children. Behold, my soul delighteth in the things of the Lord, and my heart pondereth continually upon the things which I have seen and heard. Welcome to another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome. I'm your host, Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, but Who Came Up with Dating? A humorous guide to help you succeed in dating, and Giraffe Tracks, the inspiring true story of an LDS missionary in post-apartheid South Africa. Thanks for joining us today. We started out today reading the words of Nephi, and I find these words just absolutely beautiful, absolutely fascinating. He says, upon these, he's talking about the plates that he's writing in, I write the things of my soul. Have you ever wondered what the prophets have deep in their soul? You know how you have those burning desires for things, those that ache for certain things? The prophets have had that just as much as anybody. In fact, somebody like Nephi, I consider him a very motivated, very passionate person, very driven in the things that meant so much to him. And he says, upon these I write the things of my soul. So he's writing the things of his soul, and he says, and many of the scriptures which are engraven upon the plates of brass, for my soul delighteth in the scriptures. Now, I'd like to be like Nephi. I'd like to delight in the scriptures as passionately as he did, because clearly he had just a love for the scriptures, which I would love to have. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Something that Neil A. Maxwell said. When I read this, I realized that Neil A. Maxwell had a very similar feeling about the scriptures as Nephi did. He's talking about the Book of Mormon. He says, for my part, brothers and sisters, I'm glad the book will be with us as long as the earth shall stand. I need and want additional time. For me, the Book of Mormon is like a vast mansion with gardens, towers, courtyards, and wings. My tour of it has never been completed. Some rooms I have yet to enter, and there are more felicitous fireplaces waiting to warm me. Even the rooms I have glimpsed contain further furnishings and rich detail yet to be savored. There are panels inlaid with incredible insights and design and decor dating from Eden. There are even sumptuous banquet tables painstakingly prepared by predecessors which await all of us. Yet we as church members sometimes behave like hurried tourists, scarcely venturing beyond the entry hall. Continuing Neil A. Maxwell's quote, he says, may we come to feel as a whole people beckoned beyond the entry hall. May we go inside far enough to hear clearly the whispered truths from those who have slumbered, which whisperings will awaken in us individually a life and discipleship as never before. Unquote. Can you hear the passion there? He's so excited. He's just absolutely enthraled with his study of the Book of Mormon. Wouldn't it be nice to have that? Especially if we could have it every time we read. Is there a way to have that passion and drive and love for the scriptures, for the gospel, every time we read? Well, I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you won't feel that every time you read. Okay, I don't know anyone who has an awesome experience every time they read the scriptures. But the good news is you can experience a lot more than you do now. And if you're diligent and you work hard at it, you can have an awesome experience with the scriptures more often than not. How do you do that? Well, let's talk about that a bit. Let me share a little experience to kind of set the stage for this. This is something that President Faust shared in General Conference. He says, Sister Celia Cruz Ayala of Puerto Rico San Juan Mission decided to give a Book of Mormon to a friend. She wrapped it in attractive paper and set out to deliver her present. On the way, she was attacked by a bandit who stole her purse and with it the wrapped copy of the Book of Mormon. A few days later, she received this letter. Now, I find this very interesting. Listen carefully to what this bandit says in a letter to this woman. Mrs. Cruz, forgive me, forgive me. You will never know how sorry I am for attacking you. But because of it, my life has changed and will continue to change. That book, the Book of Mormon, has helped me in my life. The dream of that man of God has shaken me. I'm returning your 5 pesos, for I can't spend them. I want you to know that you seem to have a radiance about you. That light seemed to stop me from harming you, so I ran away instead. I want you to know that you will see me again, but when you do, you won't recognize me, for I will be your brother. Here where I live, I have to find the Lord and go to the church you belong to. The message you wrote in that book brought tears to my eyes. Since Wednesday night, I have not been able to stop reading it. I have prayed and asked God to forgive me, and I ask you to forgive me. I thought your wrapped gift was something I could sell. Instead, it has made me want to make my life over. Forgive me, I beg you. Your absent friend. Such is the conversion power of the Book of Mormon. That's the end of the quote by James E. Faust. If the scriptures can have such power over the heart of a hardened criminal, how much more power can it have to someone who actually wants to be touched and changed by them? President Hinckley has said, take advantage of every opportunity to enlarge your understanding of the gospel. That's the end of his quote. Okay, so now we know that the scriptures are powerful. We know that they have the power to change your life, especially if you're one who wants to change and wants to become better. So let's talk a minute about getting up the motivation to actually read. We've all had the experience of knowing that it's time to read the scriptures or that we should be reading the scriptures, but being, I don't want to. We all have that experience. We've all had it at some time. Set that aside for a moment. I want you to do something for me right now. And I really do mean right now. I want you to promise yourself and God that you will read every day for the rest of your life. That you'll read the scriptures every day for the rest of your life. For many people, the most difficult challenge with reading the scriptures is getting up the motivation to start. Okay, if this is you, I would encourage you, regardless of your situation, make the unequivocal, eternal, vigilant decision that regardless of how you feel at the moment, promise yourself and promise God that you will read the scriptures every day for the rest of your life. No exceptions. Exercise whatever willpower it takes to make that decision. Okay? You will read every day. Have you done it yet? Stop now. Pray. Pause this podcast and make that promise. I'm serious. Stop the podcast and make that decision. Okay? Do it now. Did you do it? You promise? Okay, now we can go on. Now that you've sworn to yourself and to God that you will never, never again miss another day of scripture study, now we can talk about getting the motivation to do it. Because that first decision, that choice to do it, is gone. You have chosen, you have promised yourself, you will not break that decision. Your integrity will not allow you to break that promise to yourself and to God. Okay? That choice is gone. You never have to deal with, should I read the scriptures or should I just do it later? Should I wait? I'm not feeling like it right now. I feel rotten right now. You never have to deal with that again. You never have to, because you have already chosen. You're halfway there to having all the motivation you need to ever read. You're enslaved to the commitment now. That's important. And let me tell you why. This is very interesting to me because humans are the most resilient creatures in the universe. We have an amazing ability to get things done, to press forward and move and go at it and so forth. But as good as we are at making situations better, we are even better at adapting and making the best of situations that we're forced to be in. Think about it. In the history of the world, there have been some pretty dang rough things that humanity has had to go through. Okay, think of the plague. Think of the crusades, the attacks on different countries, the empires that have taken over the world, the world wars. We've had to live through some pretty rough stuff. And yet, you talk to people who have been through those things, and though maybe in the very heart of the situation, things were really rough, when it came down to it, they came out okay, and they came out happy. Honestly, a lot of them come out happier. And the reason they can do that is because the human soul has an incredible ability to make the best of a situation that they are forced into. That is exactly why I asked you to make that commitment first, because by binding yourself to it, your mind, your body has to make the best of it. You are bound to that commitment. And now the effort is not going to be about pressing forward with, you know, oh, I've got to be proactive. No, you don't have to. You've already made the decision. You're locked into it. Now let's talk about some things you can do to feel motivated when it's time to do it, because you will do it. Number one, you can pray. We give prayer so much emphasis in the church that we label it the Sunday school answers, you know, the giveaway. Oh, yeah, we pray, you know. And then we tend to brush over it. I want you to think about this, okay? You are about to read the scriptures. What better preparation can you do than to talk to God? Perhaps you've talked to somebody who's met a famous person. Oh, I've met the President of the United States. Oh, I talked to the prophet. I shook his hand. That's great. But guess what? Before you read your scriptures, you can talk to God, the most powerful, loving, incredible, most famous being in the universe. You can talk to him. Think about it in terms of what you're doing. Address him with humility, okay? That's not always easy to do when you're feeling like, okay, I just finished doing the dishes, now it's time to read the scriptures, and the kids are screaming in the background. That's okay. Take a deep breath. Count to 10, and then talk to your Heavenly Father. Tell Him how you feel. Tell Him you really want to love the Scriptures. You want to love the experience, and you want to have direction from Him. He is there, and He will answer. You may not always feel it, like we talked about. You're not always going to have an awesome experience with the Scriptures. But talk to Him. Really talk to Him. Open your heart to Him. Even if it's only for 30 seconds, if that's all you can really get, take the 30 seconds. If you can take 5 minutes, do it. I think you'll be more ready. Another tool, slow down. We tend to rush through the scriptures. We tend to, I'm going to read by the end of the year, boom, and then we dive into it. If that works for you, if it makes you feel motivated and excited, great, do it. If it doesn't, and it doesn't very well for me, slow down. Take some time. Read the scriptures as if you're watching a movie. See the actions, the facial expressions of the people speaking, okay? We can talk more in future podcasts about some pretty cool methods for scripture study, methods of getting more out of it, but we're just talking about getting the motivation to read, okay? Slow down your scripture study. Another one, make scripture study me time. We talk so much about, oh, I gotta have my me time. I gotta have this time that I have just for me. Okay, and it's usually, I don't know, sitting in front of a video game and eating chocolate, or it's sitting in front of a movie, and or maybe it's going hanging out with friends. We have this concept in our culture that everybody needs me time. I need this time that's just for me, that I can recuperate and recharge before I go back to the labors of the day or back to my children or whatever. Make your scripture study me time. It only takes a couple of awesome scripture study times, really only one, to realize, wow, if I could have more of these, this is better than anything I've been doing for me time. Make scripture study me time. Positive reinforcement. Okay, good old-fashioned psychology. Tell yourself, if I sit down and read my scriptures for a half hour, then I will allow myself to watch this favorite show of mine, or I will allow myself to eat a candy bar, you know, or whatever it takes to kind of get that feeling of excitement. Okay, I'm going to do it. Give yourself positive reinforcement. You don't want to necessarily give yourself a hot fudge sundae every time you read the scriptures, because now you're going to be doing it every day, remember. You've promised yourself, you've promised God. But have positive reinforcement. It may even be something like, okay, if I can do this every day for an entire month without fail, even if it's only one verse a day, if I can do it every day for an entire month, then I can purchase this thing that I've been wanting, you know, this new device or this, you know, or maybe I can start doing this that I've always wanted to do that I haven't been able to justify it enough. Believe me, if there's anything that deserves a good hard reward, it's diligent scripture study, daily diligent scripture study. Try some positive reinforcement. Here's another one. Develop a love of learning. Now this one's kind of an interesting one, because if you have a love of learning, if you love getting knowledge, if you love obtaining more information about things, apply it to scripture study. What better place to apply research skills, to apply a love of learning and exploring than in the scriptures? If you have not developed a love of learning, get one. You may even want to try learning some different subjects as well, so that you can kind of see how learning can be so much fun and fulfilling. But what a better place, again, to do that than in the scriptures? And there are so many tools that the church has put out to make scripture study a learning process and a wonderful learning exploration and research and so forth. Here's the last tool that I want to give you. And I'm going to share this little experience by Ed J. Pinniger. He was a mission president at the time when he was in this story that I'm going to share with you. Okay, he says, "As a leader of young missionaries for 4 years, I had struggled with the question of motivation. I had searched the scriptures, used reasoning and logic, and pleaded with my Heavenly Father for insight. I felt that in order to get to the heart of productivity in missionaries and offer them a key to the conversion process, I needed the answer to a question. What is the beginning, the stepping off place of righteous desire? I felt that if I could get a handle on that, I could get to the very seeds of desiring righteousness. I felt that if I could get a handle on that, if I could get to the very seeds of desiring righteousness, I could help missionaries and investigators to know how to begin. At 4 a.m. on December 25th, 1988, I was awakened by a direct response from the heavens to my 4-year search. Apparently, Heavenly Father had some growing for me to do, and so had allowed me to pursue the answer to my question and to struggle for all those months. But at this time, as He always does, He began to provide the reward for the price I'd been paying in pursuit. This time the answer wasn't found in a witness of the Spirit to a passage of Scripture or in the words of a modern prophet. It was one of those occasions when the Spirit communicated directly and tangibly to another spirit through no medium but Himself. He impressed a comprehension indelibly on my mind and in my heart. I got up immediately and wrote it down. Recognizing the goodness of God puts the knowledge that He loves us into our hearts. That great moment then produces the fruit of gratitude, and righteous behavior can be the result. Therefore, gratitude is the beginning of all righteous desire." That's the end of the quote by Ed J. Pinniger. Gratitude. This I have found to be so true. After I heard this quote, read this for the first time, I was having a rough day, I wasn't feeling very motivated, and I had some responsibilities, gospel responsibilities to do, and so I decided to put this to the test. So I took a walk, and I started praying, and all I did in this prayer was express gratitude. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for a wonderful family. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that I was born in a time when the gospel is on the earth. Thank you so much for a wonderful home to live in. Thank you so much. And I just went through everything I could think of. You know, you talk about counting your blessings. Instead of counting your blessings, pray and thank Heavenly Father for your blessings. Go for a walk and thank Him. And I can bear testimony of this. As I did this, I was just starting out saying the words. I wasn't feeling it. But as I said the words and as I forced the words out of my mouth in this prayer, as I was walking, gratitude began to come inside of me. And as gratitude started filling my heart, I found that motivation was increasing even more. And ever since then, if I'm ever feeling like, oh, I don't feel motivated, I don't want to do this, I just take a walk or shut myself in a room and begin to express gratitude to my Heavenly Father. It's a powerful tool. I can testify of that. Here's a quote by Richard G. Scott that I think is very appropriate to read. Now that you're locked into the commitment and you have some tools to motivate yourself, here's some of the rewards that you might find in reading the scriptures every day. Elder Scott says, "Scriptures can calm an agitated soul, giving peace, hope, and a restoration of confidence in one's ability to overcome the challenges of life. They have potent power to heal emotional challenges when there is faith in the Savior. They can accelerate physical healing. Scriptures can communicate different meanings at different times in your life according to our needs. A scripture that we may have read many times can take on nuances of meaning that are refreshing and insightful when we face a new challenge in life." That's the end of the quote. Here's another one by Elder M. Russell Ballard. And this is an interesting experience that he shares. And I want you to think again. Remember the burglar who was not in a state of mind to be spiritually inspired, and yet he was. Okay, here's another example of someone who was not prepared, not mentally prepared for what was coming. Elder Ballard says, "Some years ago, one of my missionaries came to see me. He said, 'President, I'm losing my testimony. I have some questions that no one will answer for me. My bishop and stake president just told me to forget them, that they had no answers.' I asked for his questions in writing, and then suggested he come to see me in 10 days, and I would answer every one of his questions. As he was leaving my office, I was prompted to ask him, 'Elder, how long has it been since you've read from the scriptures?' He acknowledged that it had been a long time. I said, 'You've given me an assignment. It's only fair that I give you one. You read at least 1 hour from the scriptures each day until you come back for your answers.' He agreed to do this. When he came back, I was ready. He said, 'President, I don't need the answers. I know the Book of Mormon is true. I know Joseph Smith is a prophet. I'm okay now.' I replied, 'You will get your answers anyway. I worked hard on them.' All this anti-Mormon stuff was what we were dealing with. After our discussion, I asked him, 'Elder, what have you learned from all of this?' And he gave me a very significant response. 'I've learned to give the Lord equal time.'" That's the end of the quote by Elder Ballard. Think of that. With all that we're doing in our lives, with all the work that we're doing, with all the things that we have to do, all our duties and all that, are we giving the Lord equal time? If we're not, do it. If you're putting in your time, putting in daily scripture study, I promise you, you'll have this kind of a change of heart. Remember, this boy was not prepared, this young missionary. He was coming with some pretty serious questions. He was losing his testimony. He was not feeling it. But simply by reading every day, he was reignited with that testimony, which I'm sure remotivated him to love the scriptures. We started with a quote by Elder Neil A. Maxwell. Let's end with one. He says, "In the Revelations, the Lord speaks of how the voice of His Spirit will be felt in our minds. He also says that if we read His words, meaning the Scriptures, we will hear His voice. Many disciples have had private moments of pondering and reading the scriptures when the words came through in a clear, clarion way. We know who it is speaking to us. We've all had the experience of going over the scriptures many times without having it register. Then, all of a sudden, we're ready to receive it. We hear the voice of the Lord through his words. That's the end of the quote. I would just like to tell you that I know that the scriptures are true. I know that they have within them their own motivating power. I hope you've made the commitment that we've talked about to read every day. I promise you, it's worth it. It's going to make a huge difference in your life. If you have already made that commitment long since, if you're doing it and just need a little more motivation, I hope some of the things that we've talked about will help to reignite that love of the scriptures. Maybe try doubling the time that you're spending in the scriptures. Give it a try. See what happens if you're not having the experience that you want to be having with the scriptures. Thanks so much for joining us today. Again, I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Marriage is Ordained of God, but Who Came Up with Dating, and Giraffe Tracks. You can see the notes and quotes from this podcast at our website, or if you'd like to invite me to do a fireside for your ward, your stake, youth, young adults, singles ward, seminary, institute, whatever, click firesides. Join us again next week for another episode of Gospel Living Made Awesome.